Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to this Publics Lab archival interview. I'm Jess Applebaum, a former Publics Lab fellow and co-editor of the Publics Lab archive. I am also a doctoral candidate in the theater and performance program at the CUNY Graduate Center, which is sometimes called the Grad Center, or simply the GC. The following conversation is part of a series showcasing perspectives of Publics Lab fellows. Fellowships were awarded for 2 or 3 year periods. During the first year, fellows met once a week with their cohort, where they developed their own understanding of public scholarship through a series of talks, workshops, and assignments curated by Director Stacey Hartman and faculty leads Bianca Williams and Candace Chu. During the second year, fellows initiated programs and internships which connected them to publics inside and outside the walls of the GC. In this conversation, scholar and content creator Queenie Sukadia shares insights into finding mentorship at the Graduate Center and encourages scholars interested in public scholarship to create the platforms that best serve their audience. Thank you so much for being here, Queenie. However you'd like, will you let our listeners know what led you to the Graduate Center and then on to Publics Lab?
Sure. So there were multiple factors that led me to the Graduate Center. One was the English PhD program itself. I also wanted to be in New York City because of all the opportunities that a place like New York City could provide me in terms of public institutions. When I was applying to the Graduate Center, my research was really focused on 9/11 as a specific historical point and about testimonial narratives that emerged from there. I knew that there were so many kind of archives around 9/11 in New York City, so that was another factor that compelled me to the Graduate Center. And then knowing the kind of resources that the Graduate Center had, I didn't necessarily know that I wanted a non-academic career per se, but I did know that I wanted to do some kind of public scholarship. And just looking at the Publics Lab website showed me that this is a space that makes this possible. I found that really inspiring. I wasn't involved with the Publics Lab in my first year, but I knew that I was still interested in looking at their events. And then when they sent out the call for the Mellon Public Fellowship, this was towards the end of my first year. That's when I was like, okay, this is something that I want to get involved with. I feel like that's when I really started getting immersed in what the Publics Lab had to offer.
For those who are listening, each Public Fellow had a faculty member from their own program that was involved in guiding them through their fellowship experience. Can you tell us what attracted you to Candace Chu and what your relationship is like and how she supported your work as a Public Fellow?
Sure. So I feel like something that I found very fascinating about Candace was that even despite being in the university, she doesn't identify so closely with the university. And I mean that in the most positive way possible. When I got involved with the Publics Lab and I was starting with the Mellon Fellowship, I feel like she was always a very supportive mentor in terms of identifying things that I felt passionate about and also deconstructing that binary between like academia and like non-academic spaces, cultivating that critical distance from the practices that disciplines or the university encourage. It was very accommodating of finding new ways that support your research with what feels true to your commitments, research or public or otherwise. She always used to say, if somebody tells you you can't do something, dig into those structures that tell you why you can't do something and push back against them, which I found really powerful. And then secondly, she always used to say that the questions that you're asking through your research, the values that you hold close to you, go with you. So you don't really abandon that identity of being a researcher or an academic just because of the different spaces within which you travel, right? They just take different shape. They take different form. They're still part of who you are. And I found that really empowering.
You talk both yourself and also Candace of identifying so clearly that there's this unconscious binary that we often create between academic and non-academic worlds. And I know that one of your missions is to dismantle that binary. I would love to hear from you what your strategies or what projects you undertook to generate a relationship between both worlds rather than the division between those worlds.
I think one exercise that we did during my Publics Lab fellowship was really helpful for me to kind of work through this. Stacey and Bianca asked us to write a public positionality statement that kind of talked about the publics we feel committed to and how we imagine those commitments taking different shape. The public is no longer this amorphous, this thing out there that people inside the academy are trying to reach. We're really trying to dig into and name these publics and why they form a public in these specific ways. Defining who you are reaching out to, or who you're trying to communicate with, or who you're trying to bring into the folds of something, I think helps in some ways build this relationship between the university and outside public, but it's also not just always an outside public. So for example, if you're talking about, I don't know, Game of Thrones fandom, right? Aren't there people in the university who are part of this public? So how does this binary still hold up, right? Secondly, just thinking about the university as one workplace among others and not idealizing it as this place that is transformative for the world. There's so much important work happening outside. Thinking about the university as one workplace among others that share both good things with other industries, but also complicated histories and complicated aspects. I think that really helps take it off the pedestal that we sometimes put it on.
That's so worthwhile for all of us to think about more, that we all share like similarities between our workplaces, and that these are jobs that at the base of them, the same forms of labor exist. One thing that you point out so well, though, that is particular to the university system, this quote, idea of academic thinking and academic writing. And as public scholars, we get to also think about the languages and the forms of communication that we want to further develop that also helps dismantle this divide between worlds. And I know that you have this amazing project,
Academia for All.
Can you share a little bit about what that project was and its ongoingness and how that developed and where you see it going for the future?
Sure. So very informally, Academia for All, I feel like when I read things that really speak to me or that inspire me, I always find a way to like talk about it with people that are close to me. And most of my friends and family aren't academics. But a lot of these issues I was reading about, whether they be like race studies, gender studies, they're things all of us are thinking about in different ways, right? So these conversations, people were still interested in them. I could never point, rarely could point them to certain texts and be like, read this, this is so great, because the language was keeping people out rather than inviting them in. You need a very specialized vocabulary and familiarity with different theoretical schools of thought to understand what these texts are talking about. So that always made me think that I wish there was a way for people to read this important work, this great work happening in the university or in research spaces, right? I wish these barriers weren't there. And that kind of prompted me to think about how I can make this more accessible. The work that I'm doing on Academia for All basically takes academic texts and tries to summarize them or break them down in ways that are accessible to people outside the academy or people who aren't involved with this kind of language and academic work on their day-to-day. But I think it still in some way still falls prey to those same things that I was talking about, because again, when you know you're breaking something down, trying to provide the gist of an entire text, it is somewhat reductive. The translation work and kind of summarizing these things for people loses so much of the nuance of what makes this so powerful. But I feel like it's better than tools we have right now, and it's still something.
We'll provide a link to that so that people can see your work there. One of the things they bring up, which I think is so important, and it's a theme that continues to be talked about by many Public Labs fellows, is how we translate our work between the university system and the internships that we are asked to fulfill. I'm wondering, what was the internship that you took on as public fellow, and how did that translation kind of feed into the work that you're doing now?
Sure. I was working at this organization called Constructive. They are a web design and brand strategy agency that works exclusively with nonprofits. So they take certain issues around like climate change or the gender pay gap or things like that, and talk about how to frame those issues or frame that research in a way that would be effective for public advocacy. My role as an intern was multifaceted. I was working on their marketing materials. I was also working on their content strategy sometimes on client projects. Where I could contribute, I was contributing, but also watching and taking it all in and seeing how the process works. During my last semester, I was actually looking at different kind of public research organizations and thinking about how to frame the issue or frame research in a way that would be effective for public advocacy. One of the things that I found most impactful was developing a sense of humility, right? You need to be humble and think about how you can take these things that you care about and insert them into people's everyday lives in ways that move them. You start thinking about language. What are the ways in which people already read? What are the ways in which they consume information? How do you make things accessible in ways such that you motivate them to engage with these issues? You don't want language to be convoluted and you don't want like long paragraphs that just look intimidating. Thinking about how to like write things, how to present things, the responsibility is on you. And when you develop that sense of humility, I feel like it really opens up what's possible. You're also thinking about how people navigate the digital world, how to design web pages, how to design things that frame issues in ways that motivate people to engage with these things. Nobody's obligated to engage with issues that I care about. How do I make people engage with these things and care about the same things that I do? Yeah.
And you use a really great phrase, design language. I think that's such a wonderful way of thinking about ways that we can further develop the scholarly work that we do so that it extends beyond the very limited scope of readers. Now you've completed your PhD and you're currently working at LinkedIn. I would love to know what your current position is, how you found it, and how the Publix Lab supported your journey into this alt academic career.
So I currently work as a content designer at LinkedIn, and that means that I'm working with the UX team to design experiences, but through language and through words. So all of the words that you see on LinkedIn or different LinkedIn products are written by content designers. That is what I do. The Publix Lab really helped me in multiple ways. One is they helped me identify the skills that I currently possess, the commitments that I uphold, and the values that I hold through career workshops. I think I really kind of identified those, but also identified gaps or things that I want to learn or find fascinating, and then found ways to build that repertoire of skills to help me land this job. In a very practical way, I think Stacey was also really helpful in looking at my resumes and helping me fine-tune those, which was really great. Also, one of the big things that the Publix Lab provided was a community of people who are also thinking about the same things that I am, who don't just find themselves limited to an academic or researcher identity, and who do all this kind of different reaching across to Publix work. So being able to brainstorm with them, being able to find support for what I did with this community, be that faculty mentors or Mellon fellowship folks. I think just having that community would create.
Would there be any kind of last takeaway? Like if there were to be a future version of this Publix Lab, what would you want that to be and how would you see that developing?
I think a lot of what the Publix Lab already did for me was so great. It provided me a space to be who I am. It provided me with models to look up to through all of these workshops that they hosted. They had people come and talk to us about all these different jobs that they did in all these different spaces. And it really expanded the range of what you think is possible with a PhD. I think that was so powerful. I'm sure the Publix Lab could improve. Like, I already think that they provide such a robust support system and exploratory kind of networks for people that I feel like it's already a great space. The fellowships it has, the grants that it offers already allows so much. I think that's really powerful. I think one last kind of piece of advice that I think Stacey and even Bianca and Candace gave me, which I really want to hold up for people, is to think about your mentorship panel, not just of the people who are directly working with you on your dissertation, but also people who support your ambitions in ways that extend beyond that. Find people who really support who you are in all these complex ways. Find mentors who either are doing things that you're interested in or who believe in you and who want to encourage you to explore all these different parts of who you are, all these different commitments that you might have to different communities. Find your people.
Wonderful. Thank you again for so much of your time.
The Publics Lab was an initiative at the GC that supported the transformation of graduate education through fellowships for doctoral students, curriculum enhancement grants for departments and programs, and programming for all that showcased and workshopped the methods and practices of public scholarship. It was funded from 2018 to 2023 by the Mellon Foundation. Dr. Stacey Hartman was the director of the program. Professor Bianca Williams served as its faculty lead. Professor Candace Chu, interim faculty lead. And Professor David Olin was the grant's principal investigator. Our archive features audio interviews with student fellows, faculty mentors, grant recipients, and the program's leadership.